We're thinking about verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So we're going to talk about the church stroke the cult of Scientology. You'll find in the Word of God that the apostles give us clear warning against turning our back on the truth of the Word of God and following after fables. We have that in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, where we read, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith." And the verse that we've read already tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And Paul there, writing to the youthful pastor Timothy, is telling him now, don't be shaken when this happens. Don't be surprised. This is what's going to occur. People around you will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Then writing to Titus, Titus 1 to verse 14, Paul says, "Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, that turn from the truth." The apostles, not only did they warn us against turning our backs on God and our faces toward fables, but they assured us that when they came delivering the word of God unto us, they had not delved into the realm of fantasy or of fable to do it. 2 Peter 1 verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." In other words, we're not taking a big leap out into the dark here and talking about things we know nothing about, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw him, our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are making known to you what we have actually seen ourselves. We're not in the realm of fable, and we're not operating in the arena of fantasy. One of the most outrageous fables of these modern times is the teaching of Scientology. Now, let me give you a little bit of background about it. This modern cult, for cult is what it is, was founded by the late L. Ron Hubbard in 1954. He had, before that, a successful career as a science fiction writer during the 1930s and the 1940s. Now, given what I'm going to tell you about Scientology, what it believes, its leading tenets, etc., then you will quite understand why this guy had this sci-fi background and how it all comes leaping out in the teaching of Scientology. Initially, Scientology made no claim to be religious. It was simply a convenient vehicle for Hubbard through which he could promote his self-help methods. Now, he already had outlined these self-help methods in the pages of a best-selling book called Dianetics, The Modern Science of Mental Health, that he published back in 1950. Now, by this stage, that book has sold over 20 million copies, so it's been pretty popular. But as a means of gaining tax exemption, and also to sidestep the legal pitfalls of claiming to be a medical science, because the medical authorities were hounding them, were questioning his teachings, were saying, this isn't legit, there's no way that this stands up to any kind of analysis, this is a fraud. Well, to sidestep all of that, Hubbard saw the wisdom in coating Scientology with a religious veneer. He called his staff ministers. He had them wear clerical collars. He called his high counselling charges fixed donations. And he even wrote a few religious services, inverted commas, including marriage and confession. So his idea was, let's present ourselves as a church. Though they were given charitable status in America in 1993, most countries, including Britain, France, Germany, many others, still view Scientology as a harmful psycho sect. The basic aim of the cult is to create a society where everyone, even non-Scientologists, is managed by the church's leaders of tomorrow, they call them. In this imagined society, human rights would be disregarded. Only those people who were described as cleared and non-aberrant Scientologists would be entitled to any rights. One critic of the cult, A psychologist and author, Milton Sapir-Stein, has argued it's the authoritarian dream. A population of zombies, free to be manipulated by the great brains of the inner clique. Scientology has attracted many celebrity followers. And that's why we mentioned at the beginning there, these people include Tom Cruise, who's the most famous disciple Scientology has ever had, and who is its primary poster boy, John Travolta, former Cheers star Kirstie Alley, Lisa Marie Presley, Nancy Cartwright, who happens to be the voice of cartoon character Bart Simpson. The church is always on a recruitment drive for other star disciples. Just 2 years ago, Tom Cruise was making a quite determined effort to convince Jamie Packer, the Australian media tycoon and also heir to a £4.5 billion fortune. He was trying to persuade him of the benefits of Scientology in his life. He made similar conversion attempts with his second wife, actress Nicole Kidman, and his subsequent girlfriend, Penelope Cruz. Now, none of those attempts worked. But there is apparently a big effort being made at the moment to make Oprah Winfrey their next high-profile target. And of course, she is a very influential lady in her talk show, and she would be able to influence many minds and hearts right across America. So it is, to many, a frightening prospect to get Oprah Winfrey on board. Tom Cruise has bought a house 2 doors away from Winfrey in Santa Barbara, California. John Travolta, we need to hear this for a birthday present, gave her a birthday present of a £250,000 Bentley car. In Hollywood, one rumour refuses to die down. The Cruise interviewed a number of young actresses in the months before the sudden announcement of his attachment to Katie Holmes, and he was interviewing them ostensibly about their appearing as his co-star in Mission Impossible 3. One of those actresses was Scarlett Johansson, and she of Lost in Translation fame was reportedly subjected to a long interview by Cruise, being ushered into a room then where she had a meeting with senior Scientologists. The actress is said to have made her excuses and also to have made a very sharp exit from the room. But then the smitten Miss Holmes entered shortly afterwards under Cruise control. Oprah Winfrey, beware. Now, Cruise himself is so much enthralled to the Scientologists that he insists that his children and anybody else who's close to him must embrace its teachings. On the set of his latest film, War of the Worlds, which happens to be a big screen extravaganza based on H.G. Wells' 1898 story of the invasion of Earth by Martians, and that film is pretty notable for some eye-catching similarities that it has with Cruise's religion. On screen there, he was demanding that a Scientology tent, complete with volunteer ministers, should be available at all times to help the sick and the injured among the cast and the crew. And Tom Cruise was coming up to people and he was saying, "You know the difference that Scientology has made in my life?" And he was heavily promoting it. According to members of the church, Cruise has reached the 6th of 8 operating thetan levels, and I'll tell you more about operating thetans in a moment or two, but he has reached the 6th of 8 of these operating thetan levels, and he is therefore trusted enough to know almost all the secret truth of the universe. And I'm going to be telling you some of that secret, inverted commas, truth of the universe according to the Scientology manuals. So we thought a little bit about the background and now for some of their beliefs. This supposedly secret truth of the universe isn't easily reduced to a few paragraphs. That's due mainly to the fact that Mr. Hubbard had a quite prolific hand, wrote over 25 million words under the name of the church. But while it may not be totally secret, it is utterly strange. One of the first principles taught to the Scientologist is that all humans are descended from immortal aliens. These were brought to Earth 75 million years ago when Xenu, the Galactic Federation ruler, paralyzed thousands of the excess population from his dominions, dropped them, scattered them, positioned them, whatever you wish, around the craters of volcanoes, and then dropped hydrogen bombs into those volcanoes to blow them up and blow the people up as well. They were rather surplus to his requirements. So we have now disembodied victims. Souls, in other words, who were blown up into the air by these blasts, captured again by Xenu's forces, taken to cinema-style arenas, and their memories are now implanted with misleading data to do with God and the devil and all the teachings that now appear in all the world's religions. When the souls left these implant stations that are claimed to be Hawaii, Las Palmas and the Canary Islands, these souls clustered around the few remaining bodies that had survived the explosions. Through the process of repeated reincarnations over the centuries and millennia of time, they have arrived at the emotionally scarred persons, or thetans, as Scientology prefers to call us, that we are today. Scientology teaches you, you see, that each past life that you have lived had aberrations, painful experiences, awful memories. They called them engrams, that have attached themselves to each thetan like barnacles to the side of a ship. And the more reincarnations they were going through, the more barnacles were accumulating on us, these reincarnated thetans. They have produced to us all kinds of psychological problems in our lives and sociological problems as well. For example, Mr. Hubbard taught that people smoke cigarettes today because they recalled seeing these volcanoes belching smoke in one of their past lives. He also reasoned that some people are vegetarians because they have become sick and tired of being eaten by other animals in their past lives. Still others have cirrhosis from recall of digestive fluids after being eaten in former lives. The only way that you can remove these engrams or these barnacles or painful memories, according to Scientology, is through counselling sessions that they call auditing and technical courses. Now, these counselling sessions use an e-meter to measure mental pain as you go through it, and you're recalling all of your mental problems in the past and the painful memories that they're bringing up into the surface for you. It's more or less this e-meter, a galvanometer similar to a lie detector machine. It was invented by Ron Hubbard before he died in 1996. As there are various areas of life to deal with here in these counselling classes, and as there are several levels that you have to build up through and achieve, then the process of the counselling class is neither fast nor is it cheap. If you're to reach to the highest OT operating thetan level, it'll take usually between 10 to 30 years. The average annual outlay is approximately £2,000. But if you're to reach to the highest levels, then as a follower you would be prepared to invest a lot of effort and as much as £200,000. All right for Tom Cruise, all right for John Travolta, all right, although for her, from her point of view it was all wrong for Nicole Kidman, but not really much good for the rest of us, is it? We don't have £200,000 to throw around us on this kind of stuff. Now, it's only when all of these engrams are removed that the thetan is now pronounced clear. If you're pronounced clear, that'll result in two main benefits for you. The first is that the clear Scientologist is now referred to as an actualized operating thetan with control over matter and energy and space and time, which is their MEST, MEST world. Clear Scientologists can access total recall of their memory. All of the painful stuff is removed, and they can take control of their messed world, matter, energy, space and time. The second benefit, if they're pronounced clear, is freedom from this endless cycle of reincarnation. Now, how does this fit in with the Bible? Scientology does not claim any biblical basis. Their scriptures are, not surprisingly, Hubbard's writings, and much of what he has written is restricted material that's only available to those who have reached advanced levels in the OT structure. What about God? Most Scientologists claim that Scientology does not define God. In some instances, Hubbard appeared to embrace the teaching of polytheism, that is, he said there are many, many, many gods out there, a doctrine that God hates, and shows that in Joshua 24, 23, Judges 10, the verse 13, 1 Corinthians 8, the verses 5 and 6, and right through the Bible, God is set against this many-god culture that is so accustomed to heathens. On other occasions, though, Hubbard dismissed the Christian God as just an import from Hindu theology. He said on one occasion, the Christian God is actually much better characterized in the Vedic hymns, that's Hinduism, than in any subsequent publication, including the Old Testament. In other words, if you want to know something about the Christian God, you'll learn more about him in Hinduism than you will in the Bible. He followed this allegation with an assertion about how empty and futile and worthless it was to address God in prayer. The curse of the past, he says, has been a pretense of knowledge. We have had a worship of the fable. We have had prayers sent up to a myth. So they have no Bible. God is dismissed. It will therefore not be unexpected when I say that Hubbard was guilty of portraying our Lord Jesus Christ as a cultist, a member of the Jewish Essenes sect, and said that Jesus believed in reincarnation. Now the biblical gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John place Christ within the confines of no cult. They establish that he lived in Nazareth, that he visited Jerusalem each year, Luke 2, the verses 39 to 42, that he wasn't a member of this Essenes Jewish extreme cult out there in the desert. And reincarnation, of course, is rejected by Christ and rejected by the scriptures. And it's useful to have these little references jotted down against reincarnation because it crops up, of course, in other false religions as well. But our Lord taught that he alone is from above and that we are from this world. We didn't come from some part of the galaxy in outer space there and drop down to earth through some process of being beamed or reincarnated or something like that. Our Lord teaches that in John 8 and the verse 23. He taught that we all die only once. Luke 20, the verse 36. He taught as well that there is no return to earth after death. Luke 16, the verse 27, through to the verse 31. And again, we're reminded of that by Paul in Hebrews 9, the verse 27. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Not after this, some kind of reincarnation. As far as Hubbard was concerned, Christ and his cross are a legend and an implant, one of those barnacles, painful memories in pre-clears. You will find, he says, the cross as a symbol over all the universe and the Christ legend as an implant in pre-clears a million years ago. In terms of what they would teach on man and salvation, according to Scientology, man is basically good. Every false religion says that. Hubbard rejects the truth that man is evil, and he says it is despicable and utterly beneath contempt to tell a man he must repent, that he is evil. But by way of contrast, our Lord not only called men evil, as he did in Matthew 7, the verse 11, but he commenced his earthly ministry with a call to repentance in Matthew 4, the verse 17, and he continued his ministry by calling men and women to repent. You'll remember in Luke 13, for example, verse 3 and verse 5, nay, he says, as he explains the signs of the times and the catastrophes of his day, he says, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Scientology appears attractive to some, in that it seems to offer an explanation for all fear and anxiety and depression and mental problems. It offers salvation without repentance. Problems are blamed on the past. Essentially, Scientology is a self-help program. And as a self-help program, it leaves God out of the picture. Scientology doesn't care who he is, doesn't care what he says, doesn't care what he wants us to do, but like all false religions, it's all about do, do, do. You can do it. The power is within you. You can help yourself. You can lift yourself up into all of these wonderful levels, and you don't need God in your life. The truth is, man's basic problem is not negative memories or mental health. It is sin. It is guilt. It is alienation from God. Beginning in Genesis 3, still current today, and will always be true until our Lord returns. Our main problem is sin. Our guilt is real. Our conscience can only be cleared through the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, the verses 1 to 10, Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 5, the verses 6 to 11. Why then this new religion? The only major new religion to crop up during the 20th century. Why Scientology? Well, in a nutshell, Scientology is a confused concoction of crackpot, dangerously applied psychotherapy. It is oversimplified, idiotic, and inapplicable rules and ideas, and it's science fiction drivel that's presented to its members at the advanced levels as profound spiritual truth. The Church of Scientology is a vicious, dangerous cult that masquerades as a religion. Its purpose, well, I think is pretty transparent, it is to make money. It practices this variety of mind control techniques on people who are lured into it, so that it can then exert influence, if not total control, over their money and over their lives. It should be pointed out that a best-selling pulp fiction writer once noted, if a man really wants to make $1 million, the best way would be to start his own religion. The writer of that particular sentence, L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology. And that more or less says it all. Back to what Paul said, and Peter advised, we haven't followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And then he says, because this is the truth, and you have the truth in your possession, and the Christ is coming to earth again, and we wait for his coming, in the light of his coming, when others are turning away their ears from the truth and being turned onto fables, do not you give heed to fables. Do not go for the commandments of men that turn from